Welcome. This is Pastor Miranda Reiser with King's Chapel, West Virginia, where we experience life with people, power, and purpose. Thank you so much for joining our podcast today. To stay connected, check us out on Instagram or Facebook, and you can also visit us online at kcwestvirginia.com. Now, here is today's message.
I do want to thank you guys for coming out yesterday, and you know, it's really good news because, I mean, when you look at the building, you're like, when we've got work to do, but it's not like crazy like to think that we can't actually get everything situated and get in the building in a few weeks. So, you know, I'll probably assess everything. I felt like the Holy Spirit gave me a direction. I'll likely share Sunday. I'll confer with my partner, Miss Miranda. So She'll be out there writing things down that I'm saying. You know, it's like super spectacular Christmas, you know, work, you know, we call that a work day now. I don't know. But I feel like the Holy Spirit gave me a direction, you know, even through the month of May. And I'm excited. I don't know if anybody else is excited. You know, one of the things that I've asked many of you when you show up on the property, do you see it? Do you see it? Because see, that's faith, right? Like, you're seeing into the you're seeing what it is, but do you see it? Do you see the cars? Brother John sitting there the other day, I walked over and I said, "What are you doing?" He said, "I'm seeing all the cars." You know, he's in charge of our parking lot. Praise God! But he's going to have to raise up other attendants. We know that. But what are you seeing, Brother John? He said, "I'm seeing all the cars." You know, I walk into the basketball court right now, and I, you know, what do I see? I see kids. I see kids playing. You know, I was out there with Ray, and Ray was walking around with me. We're just walking around. He's like, "I see it. I see it. We could put a field up there. We could have a rugby field." He, you know, he loves rugby, right? I'm like, "Ray, yeah, that's it." And I said, "You know, one day when you have kids, this will be a place for your kids and their children." Amen. You know, do you see it? Because see, that's the thing that has to capture your heart. And please hear me, that wherever you're positioned, God will give you that kind of faith. He'll give you that kind of faith. You may not have it. You may not have actually obtained it. But he'll put a faith in you for, "Oh, no, there's more. There's more." You know, that's why that whole thing even about sacrifice. What's the Lord actually asking? I mean, I feel like even in the areas of giving this year, my wife and I don't know where it's coming from. But I can feel this build of like, "Oh, supernaturally, I know I'm going to give more this year than I really feel like I ever have. I don't know how. Be the first to tell, I don't know how, but I feel that coming upon me. It's faith, right? It's the gift of giving, right? But it's faith. I see it. I don't have it, but I see it. Amen. Amen. But I just, you know, do you see it? And I think, shifting gears already, but it's going to go right along with this message, because if you're not seeing ahead, you have to evaluate. You're going to have to stop at times in your life if you're not seeing ahead and evaluate. Like, you know, it's like, you know, stagnation. It's a real enemy. It's a real enemy to faith. You know, it's a real place that you can get stagnant. You can get complacent with the things of God and not be in this place of actually, no, Lord, I'm taking ground. I'm taking ground. I'm taking ground. And I'm reminded that even in the times of my life where I felt stagnant or I felt maybe I wasn't moving in faith, you know, and there's those moments of waiting. And I'm telling you, this whole deal with moving into another location, I'm at a track meet right now, getting ready to. I've been at this line for a long time. I've been down. I've bent down. I'm waiting for the gun to go off, and that's how I feel. I feel as your pastor. That ought to excite you guys. That your pastor's excited about just the great impact that we're going to have, not only in Fairmont but across this state and across the United States. Amen. I mean, there's 27 to 30 people in this church tonight. I'm excited about the 30 people that are here. I'm excited. If there were three of you, I would feel that same excitement, because I know what God's going to do. I know that God's going to work through His people. I know people that are relentlessly going to pursue the things of God. God's showing up. We're not going to miss Him. We're not going to miss God. This isn't a time that we miss God. This is a time that we say, no, we're going to believe. We mess up, we get complacent, we get stagnant, we say, "No, one of my friends better come along and slap me across the back of the head and say, 'Come on, let's go, we're going somewhere,'" right? That's why you have a brother in Christ. That's why, sisters, that's why you have a sister in Christ. Amen? Sometimes we just, Dr. Morocco always said, sometimes I just feel like slapping you, right? And he's got a big hand. He has slapped me a few times in the Holy Ghost. Laid me out. Big hand. But you know, that's what it's going to take. It's going to take the body come alongside one another and say, come on, we're going. We're going. You know, it's so funny because Doctor had shared, we were in a meeting with him Tuesday, and he had shared a word, and he said, I preached a funeral in Maui this past week. One of our pastors died. It's kind of a tragic death, but everybody says it matters how you finish. One more time. Because a doctor shared his testimony. He said he got saved 20 years ago in the church. Got saved 20 years ago and left the church. Been out of church 15, 16, 17, 18 years. Come back in the church 5 years ago. Got on fire for Jesus. Just got saved, radically saved. Got on fire for Jesus. Was leading he was one of those guys in Maui everybody knew. If you're a biker, you knew him. If you're a club, you knew him. If you were a fighter, you knew him. Everybody knew him, Pastor Lawrence. And you know, and when you went in, Pastor Lawrence was one of those guys. It didn't matter. He was an usher. He ushered, but he also managed about 80 to 100 life groups. That's a lot, right? You guys understand? That's a lot of life groups, right? I mean, he's ministering to more people in life groups than we as pastors do in our church. But he's running that many life groups on the island of Maui. And doctor said, you know, these last 5 years, it was just, you know, he wasn't looking for a title. He wasn't looking for a position. He wasn't looking for anything. He was just looking to change lives and to have an impact on, you know, with his people. And he was actually having an impact in the mainland with groups of people I'm hearing now too. His wife worked for the church and just powerful. But the last 5 years of his life were spent running for the things of God and running for Jesus, and had a great impact. And doctor shared with us, he shared a passage out of 2 Corinthians 5, which he said, over the years, he said, I've never had the Lord really give me a word for a funeral, but he gave me a word. And doctor shared that word with us. This is not a part of my notes tonight, praise God. But he said the Lord quickened me around 2 Corinthians 4 and 2 Corinthians 5. And he began to break it down. He said, I feel like the pastors that we've got on with us today, Pastor Murray and I were on, there was probably 10 or 12 other pastors. And he began to preach and he began to release a word, even into us. And he began to talk about eternity. And he began to talk about how important that our minds need to be set on eternity. Not the materialistic things, not the things of this world, but our minds need to be set on eternity. You can see that in 2 Corinthians 4 and 2 Corinthians 5. I don't have time to get into that tonight. But I say this because I think there's a great shift coming into the church and coming into the body of Christ. That it's like, you know, have nice things, please. Drive nice cars. Do all that. It's, you know, have nice things. Praise God. Have a nice home. Have a nice car. Motorcycles. Whatever you like. Have them. But there's also this need that God, I believe, is going to begin to put in people. There's a void. There's a void that if we're not careful, we don't ever pay attention to, and that's eternity. The Holy Spirit knows this. And the flesh, you know, it wars against it, you know, because the flesh is like, oh, if I could just have this, if I could just have that, so there's that stuff that goes on. But may we never lose our mindset for the things of God in an eternity. This life is temporal. You'll see that in 2 Corinthians 5. It's very temporal. We're not here really that long. But what can we do for God now while we're here? That's the question, right? That ultimately needs to... What can I do to be better, to serve God greater? What can I do now? What things can I do now that will have a heavenly impact, an eternal impact? Anybody with me tonight? You know, what can I do to have a greater impact? What is God going to... You know, back to this whole beginning part. What is the Lord asking of me? It's not just the requirement,
We're commanded to follow His precepts, His law. We're called to follow the Word, right? We understand that. But what is the Lord asking of you? What is He asking of you? Then in that, are you willing? Are you willing to roll your sleeves up and come on? This is it's messy sometimes too, right? It can be messy. Are you willing just to come on? It's like what I said. Some of you just need to take a risk. Quit thinking so much about this or that or that. You know, how's it going to happen? Just jump, jump, jump. I know we got a small crowd today. I promise you, I'm not looking at anybody specifically tonight. Miranda, come over here and sit right here, and I'll look at you. Anyway, I feel this, and I feel faith. I feel faith in the church. It's an unusual thing that I think sometimes it's like you have to see the benefits in serving the King. You're not serving me. He is the master. You're not serving the you serve in the church, but you serve God first. And when you serve God first, you're going to love everything that He loves. You're going to love the church. You're going to love serving people. You're going to love going out canvassing. We got to go hit the streets for 2 weeks, right? We got to do that. We're getting ready to go into a new location. Pastor needs your help. Like the other night, you guys showed up. Thank you. But now we've got to go hit the streets. Now we got to go to Kingmont. We got to go to Point. What is it? Pleasant Valley. It's not Point Pleasant. We got to go over there. We got to go hit neighborhoods in Whitehall. We got whole other sections now. We got to hit Monongah. It's over the hill. We're going to roll up our sleeves, right? We're going to roll up our sleeves. You know, one of our churches in Houston, pastor there, he's been there 3 or 4 months, testified. What did I tell you his name was? Minister Falau. Hawaiian. Good brother. He testified this past week. He's like, and he's out on the streets in Houston. Guys, that's raw, okay? He's out ministering on the streets of Houston. He's like, we had 75 people in church this past week. He said, they're all messed up. He said, they're all coming in. They're all coming off stuff. And he said, but man, they're all coming in and getting saved and getting filled with the Holy Ghost. Somebody's just got to be there to tell them. He's like, Dr. Morocco, somebody's just got to be there to tell them that Jesus loves them. It's that we don't have to complicate the message of the gospel. Somebody's just got to be there. Somebody's got to be there to tell them. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Let's get into Romans chapter 12. We need faith. And without faith, we understand that it's impossible to please God. Romans chapter 12. I'm going to break some of this down. I want you to, if you're taking notes tonight, if you just even above your heading, if you're taking any kind of notes, just write leadership. Write leadership above. Write leadership above your notes or on your phone or whatever. Because I think sometimes we spend a lot of time, Pastor Moran and I, we want to be better leaders. That, honestly, this is one of the things both of us desire. It's one of the things we pray for. Is to become better leaders. As a pastor, you want to be a good leader, right? And so even everybody you guys under leadership. We want you guys to possess leadership, because the more leaders we raise, the more people generally that will come in, right? It's like, you know, think about it. If every person in this church was responsible for 5 people, if everybody in the church was responsible for 5 people, and it's not the same 5 people. We multiply, right? We things multiply very quickly if it was just one. But anyway, let's get into the text. Romans chapter 12, verse 3. I'm going to read this out of the NLT. Do I have somebody back there? Who I got back there? Jamie! You get that car yet? It's coming. Amen. Romans 12, 3. Are you in the NLT? What version are you in? Can you switch to NLT? Okay, awesome, awesome. Let's pick up at verse 3. It says, "For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but but then you really are. Be honest in your evaluation of yourself, measuring yourself by the faith of God. I just want to stop here. Father, thank you tonight for the word. I thank you, Father, for clarity, and I thank you, Lord, for direction. I pray, Father, you know, Lord, anoint every one of us. Equip us with the mind of Christ, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. That you really are. Be honest in your evaluation of yourself, measuring yourself by faith of God. So we're just real quickly, you see, by faith in God, right? Now, we understand that without faith, it is impossible to please God. So God, does God love the operation of faith in our lives? Yeah. He wants us, each and every one of us, to operate in faith. And so even just the first part, let me get my notes back up. Be honest with the evaluation. And, you know, Paul is saying even, you know, don't think of yourself more, what's the right word? He used it. Go back to verse, oh, there you go. You went down. Don't think of yourself more highly than you ought to think of yourself. Now, you know, Paul's saying this, and I think it's a very interesting statement. It's such one of those statements, because Paul, what he's doing, even I think here at the very beginning, he's checking the Christian heart, right? Don't think of yourself. Don't be boastful. Don't puff yourself up. Don't think of yourself more whatever than you ought to. And so I think it's one of those things, clearly, that it's always something that we have to take our humility back before the Lord. Amen. That we remain humble. Amen. You know, I think one of the things about humility, it's necessary. It's a work in our lives. Amen. We understand that, you know, the enemy was kicked out of heaven. The enemy and all of his demons were kicked out because of pride. But please hear me today. It's so important that we remain humble as Christian believers. That our integrity, our honesty, all that stuff is vitally, vitally important. You know, it's important in your workplace. Can I get an amen? It's not just on a Wednesday night that we come in, that on a Sunday that we come in, or that a Saturday when we see each other at the grocery store. We're, hey, you know, we're liking each other and, you know, mad at somebody because they took the dozen eggs, right? It's, you know, so it's, but it's important that we understand, you know, what he's even saying here. You know, and even the beginning part of this, he says, because of the privilege and authority God has given me, I give each of you this warning. Paul was saying, I give you this warning. Give you this warning. And I'm always mindful of this warning, because I tell you, you've got to watch the enemy in this sense, but you also have to check yourself. Flesh. Everybody say flesh. Because flesh wants to do what flesh wants to do. Ain't nobody going to tell me. Well, I have my opinion. It's how I was raised. It's this, it's that, it's this, it's how I learned this, or it's how I learned that. And sometimes it's hard to get in that area where we're willing to move. Amen. And so it's important that we understand that we should never think of ourselves more highly than we really are. And be honest in your evaluation of yourself. And I really think this is an important piece of passage. Be honest in the evaluation of yourself, guys. I haven't arrived. I haven't arrived. Are there things, it's like what I said earlier, Pastor Mary and I, we both desire to be greater leaders. We come out of some meetings and we look at each other and say, what are we doing wrong? What do we need to do? We need to pray. We need to do this. We need to do that. That's an honest evaluation. I mean, honest evaluation is so important. Am I thriving to where I can get to? Or am I just shortcutting everything? I'm just whatever works, whatever flies by. Honest evaluation, if we're honest with ourselves, we should always be looking at a place. Minister Lee House said that the other day, that we would thrive. Body, soul, and spirit. That, you know, and it's a word that got put in me many years ago. Healthy church. And you said that. Every time you say that, I'll never forget when Austin Jones spoke that in HANA. And he spoke that over our church. And I'm like, even when you said that word thrive, because that I know, I take that word back to that moment in time where I know there was a word sown into my spirit. Be healthy. Body, soul, and spirit. You know, take care of your mind. Take care of your body. Take control of your thoughts even. Amen. I love this because I love Romans 12 because it's dealing so much with just personal development, personal self. It's so rich. So be honest in your evaluation of yourself. You know, guys, I'm not telling anybody, please hear me now. I'm not telling you, just go home and beat yourself up now. I suck at this, and I shouldn't say that. So I'm bad at this. That's better, right? I shouldn't say the other word. I'm bad at this. I'm bad at that. I shouldn't do this. And don't go home and beat yourself up. That's not what I'm talking about. But be fair to yourself and have an honest evaluation. Because some of you guys, I mean, honestly, think about it. You've grown so much in 6 months or a year or 2 years, right? You've seen God do the miraculous. You've seen God do it. You know, and it's like, you know, but see, it doesn't have to end. And I think that's the thing sometimes we get trapped. That's where that stuff, you know, I've been saved for 10 years, 5 years, 7 years, seen all these miracles, just ain't seen as much now. Why? Why? Faith? There's that element of faith that now has to exist to keep breaking on through. Right? It's what pushes us. Faith will... It's got to be inside of you. It's that thing that's inside of you that's got to stay stirred up. It's like why I say to you guys when we're coming onto the property, do you see it? Do you see it? Why would I take the time to ask the body of Christ if they see it? Because if Pastor Moran and I are the only two seeing it, and nobody in the church is seeing it, oh boy, we're in trouble. Right? You know, I see this. You know, I see that. I see a ship sailing away. You know. Do you see it? But see, you got to see it for your life. You got to see yourself breaking through. You got to see yourself coming into the revelation. Revelation. You've got to see yourself in that. Time and time and time again. It doesn't quit. It's always going. It's always ongoing. Breakthrough is breakthrough should be consistent for every believer. Breakthrough in the things of God should be that should be our life. Amen. Amen. I mean that should be, you know, even today I was like, we need a lift. We need a lift at the property because we got, you know, I don't want people to walk into the building and they see drywall tape hanging down from the ceiling. It bugged me, right? And I know it bugs John. You know, there'll be people that those things, Brother Greg, you seen it, right? But yeah, so those people that see it, right? You know, I could probably see it five or six times and be like, oh, we'll fix it one day. That's not the right way, though. Can I be honest with you? But I was like, I was like praying today. It's like, we need a lift. You know, it's going to cost $4,000. We don't, you know, I guess we could raise $4,000, but that's not the priority right now. I need a lift. I need to make a phone call. I need to find out somebody has a lift. And God actually, I was like, you know, Miranda's dad has a lift. I'm going to call Dougie. Call Dougie up. See what I can work out there. And then I call him. And he's like, well, you know, I used to have one. I get a 20-minute story over the lift. Praise God. You know, sometimes that's the part in it. You know. So, but, you know, I had one, and then I sold it to Aaron and let him use it, and then he give it back to me, and then I give it back to him, and then he give me another one. That was the story, and it took about 10, 15 minutes to get through it, right? You just write it out, right? You just write those stories out. And that's what I did. I wrote a story out with him. We talked about a few other things. And I got one. Come down and get it. Now, praise God. You know, long way around. Sometimes it's a long way around. But see, you got to be, you, I know that sounds whatever, but sometimes you got to be willing to stay in it. You've got to be willing not to quit. And that, you know, it's not like I'm quitting on the conversation, but that's the thing. God will give you. He'll bring people. He'll show you people. He'll show you who to talk to. You know, Brother Greg selling a trailer, you know, wanting to buy one. And I was thinking, where did I just see a trailer place? I was like, you need to call that place up in Glady. I think that guy, you said he actually had good deals. But, you know, it's like God's in that kind of stuff. We think sometimes it's like, you know, it's got to be some epiphany. It's got to be some word. Somebody's got to have a word. No. God will speak to you now. He'll give you a word now. A word now. Amen. You can get a word. You can get a word from Him tonight. You can get a download from Him tonight. Like, he'll drop something into you. Amen. He'll do that. Something in faith. That was my prayer coming in tonight. Father, give them something great in faith. Be honest with your evaluation of yourself, measuring yourself by the faith that God has given us. Let me keep with faith here a second. You're thinking about leadership. You've got to be willing to grow your leadership. You've got to be willing to grow yourself. Everybody say grow yourself. Because see, that's the key. That's the key to Christianity. That's the key to unlocking things in your life. It's not a one-time event. Your faith is not a one-time event. There's saving faith, right? There's faith that brought you into Jesus. That's one element of one area of faith. There's a saving faith for you to receive salvation. That saving faith, right? We all needed that, right? We all were sinners going to hell. We needed Jesus. That saving faith, we all needed that. But it's not over at that point. It's like it's just the beginning. It's just the beginning to every. It's that whole concept of everything becoming new now. Everything's new. Let me ask you this. When's the last time you looked around and seen things that were new? This ought to challenge us a little bit tonight, right? When's the last time you just looked at life and said, this is new? Because see, I believe this. I tie my shoe. Thank you, Miranda. I believe this. I believe if you'll take that time, you'll take that moment to see life that way, to see things. Thank you. Double knot even. Thank you. I think that if you'll wake up, like you'll wake up every day and you're like, don't you like waking up and giving praise to God? I do. Watching the sun come up like we do in the morning time with morning prayer. The turkeys are in my backyard. You know, yeah. The geese are in my backyard. Run them off. But you know, just waking up, watching the sun come up, and just giving thanks to God, and just, oh, God, you're so great. Just those moments of time, watching that sunrise, watching the sun go down, giving thanks to God. There's nothing greater. But I want you to see this, because if we can come into this thing and we start seeing life, the newness of our birth, our Christian birth. We're saved, right? Everybody here is saved tonight. But if we see that newness and we see that freshness that God's made us, man, we'll just have an impact full of joy. Our lives won't look like everybody else's. Guys, I'll be honest with you. The one thing that I'll never want to be in my life is a pathetic, sad Christian. I'm saved. Just whatever happens, I've seen way too much. Can I tell you that in this house, you've seen way too much to ever shrink back to, no, this life's new. This life's good. And don't ever say, being a Christian's hard. It's not hard. Serving the devil's hard. I mean, it really is. It's miserable. But serving God's not hard. Giving God my best is not hard. Giving God my all is not hard. In whatever it is that I do. If I go to the store, give God my best. Amen. I got to go get lumber. Give God your best. It's all in this. And you'll see that in Romans chapter 12. It's like there's what Paul is trying to relay in, even in this, you know, talking about the renewing of the mind. In 12:1, I beseech you, my brethren, present your body as a living sacrifice. Don't conform to the patterns of this world. He's saying that in the first part, but then he gets into the inner person of a man. And he's talking about faith. He's talking about faith. He's talking about the gifts that have been given to you. Guys, you have gifts. You have gifts. Isn't that cool? He's given you special ability. He's given you special things. Have you ever seen yourself that way? Special before the Lord? I'll be honest with you. Some of us have probably said, well, you know, there's times I don't feel so special. Right? We've all battled that. But if we can change this, we can change this picture in view of ourselves and see us as how God sees us. And that's everybody around us, right? Why do people not come to church? Guys, I know people are inviting. They're coming. We're gonna lift our, honestly, I want to double our prayer time, 6 and 8 a.m. I want to double our prayer. We're going to start praying for these people. We've got to dedicate some time to pray for people. Because you guys have written your names out. You've done that. We're going to believe that they're coming. Amen. They're coming. They're coming. Amen. They're coming. Praise God. Let's just stay with faith. You know, faith, Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. See, because, you know, and even what Paul's saying in verse 6, in Romans 12:6, it says, having then gift, I'm sorry, let me back up. That's verse 6. Basing yourself by the faith that God has given us. God has given each and every one of us a measure of faith. That's where I wanted to go. A measure of faith. You have a measure of faith. What are you doing with that faith? Are you exercising that faith? You just cruising with what's been given? You know, I think this is the thing of, this is really the greatest challenge. Because I've prayed and I'm praying this year, Lord, I want to be more fruitful. I want to be more fruitful in my life. I want to see this harvest that we've prayed for. You guys, we've been praying for the harvest for a while, right? I want to see the harvest that we prayed for. Asking the Lord, talking to the Lord. The Chukis, I want to see the Chukis back in church. I want to see them have their own congregation. I prayed that for a year and a half. The enemy derailed. It's the enemy. Why do we want things like that? Because we want them to have a place of worship. We want everybody to hear about the gospel. We're responsible for this area. That's why. You guys understand that? We're responsible for this whole area. The church, right? And we'll still be responsible for this area when we move to Whitehall. Praise God. Praise Jesus. Let me just work through a little bit of this. Measure yourself by the faith God has given us. Just as our bodies have many parts and each part has a special function, so it with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body, and we all belong to each other. In His grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. I love that. I like that. I like the way that reads in NLT. He's given us gifts. He's given us these things to do them well. What does that mean? I think well means good, right? Not just whenever you feel like doing them. Whenever you... You know, now that we would do them well. You know why? Because we represent Him. We represent Him. That we would do them well. We would do them well. Praise God. We are many parts of one body, and we all belong to each other in His grace. It's all through grace, right? It's through His grace. Let me read that one more time. Just as our bodies have many parts, and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. We all have a part to play. That's the most beautiful picture of the body of Christ. It's the most beautiful part of the body of Christ, that we all have a part to play. You have a part to play. People don't realize, like, you know, I think sometimes in pastoring now for a few years, you know, I know things come up with people, and sometimes people will message me, hey, Pastor, I'm not going to make it to church. You know, and that's good, you know. And I understand, like, people can't be, you know, people have things, they have work, they have stuff, whatever. And, you know, and I would say when I first started ministering, you know, I was like, after service, I'd be like, well, I got to call so-and-so. Something happened. You know, I'd be like checking on them, and I still will do that occasionally. I'll check on people if I don't see them, and or whatever. You know, hey, just checking in. Are you all right? You know, it's not like one of those pastor, where you at? You going to another church tonight? You know, it's not like anything like that. But
But it was one of the things that I personally used to deal with. Because maybe I thought somebody was mad at me, or somebody was upset, or somebody was this or that. But I've learned something about the function in the body of Christ. It's the body made up of many parts, right? And it's why we need. It's why we need each other. You guys, what do you mean, Pastor? It's like, well, a pastor can't do everything. As much, and maybe even as a model that I had once seen in a church, thinking that the pastor was like Superman, a pastor can't do everything. You know, we were blessed with a pastor that sang and did worship, and he would do worship, and then he would go right from worship, and then he would preach fire. I'm like, who can do that, right? That was what we grew up seeing. So who wants to be a pastor? I can't sing. I can't do this. I can't do that. And then he would preach. And then he would go at the back of the thing and shake everybody's hand on the way out. I'm like, that's tough, right? That's tough work. I say all that to say this is the body made up of many parts. You're a gift. Each and every one of you, you're a gift. You're a gift to the body. See yourself as that gift. You know, people in here, you guys are serving, you're doing stuff. You're a gift to the body. You're a gift. You're a treasure to the body. If you've never heard that, please hear me today. You're a treasure to the body of Christ. You're a gift to the body of Christ. And you know what I love about it is we're not the same. Aren't you thankful for that? We all don't look the same. We don't talk the same. We don't even act the same. That we're different. We have different functions. Amen. You know, Paul goes on. You know, he goes on to say in this passage of Scripture. He says God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out. And I love this. Speak out with as much faith as God has given you. See, this is what I love, is that you can grow. You can grow these things. You can grow. You can grow in the gift God's given you. See, and a lot of times people think, well, you know, just stop right here. You know, there was a time I really wanted to understand the prophetic, so I spent a lot of time studying and listening. And there's some really great books. I highly recommend that if you ever feel the call, even around prophecy, and there's some just really great books that are out there that are great teachings. And there was a time where I was hungry for learning. And guys, what I'm going to say to you, though, even in the gifts that you're operating in, please hear this. Please hear this. You gotta keep studying, and you gotta keep that yourself stirred up, and you gotta keep yourself in growing in that area. You know, I say this as experience, because what I did was, you know, there was a point in time, and it's been before I got here where the prophetic was like I was getting frustrated in it, because I was seeing things that I was like, man, I just don't know if that's right, you know, and I began to just ask the Lord. But you know what I did was, what I did was the wrong thing. I pulled away from it. I was like, you know, if it's like that, you know, I just, you know, because I, you know, there were certain things I would get words over people, and it was like, and I would question, like, is that for God, or is that, what did that, where is that coming from? And a lot of times it was the Lord, but I wasn't exercising this gift to know how to operate in this. I hope this helps somebody tonight. I really do. I wasn't exercising in this gift. I wasn't utilizing this gift. So I grew obsolete from it. I wasn't operating in it, and I wasn't growing it. And so I began to just step away. And see, that's where that whole stagnation thing can happen. And I remember at the point in time that I began to just kind of move back into it. And I begin to ask the Lord. You know, a lot of times, many times, I'll ask the Lord, even in services, Lord, I thank you for the gifts of the Spirit flowing in our services. Words of knowledge, words of wisdom. I thank you for prophecy. I thank you for that. And always be mindful to pray that way. I want our worship team to pray that way. I want our worship team to flow
out of that and out of the gifts. You know, but we've got to be in this place where we're exercising those things. It's so important, and I believe that's what Paul's saying through Romans 12. I've been in this for a little bit, but you know, he goes on to say, you know, praise God. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out as much faith as God has given you. So it's a speaking gift even. Please understand that it's a speaking gift. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. Woo. Who's a servant? We all are. Think about that. If we model ourselves after Jesus, right? We're Christians, right? Everybody's a Christian, right? If we're all Christians, we model ourselves after Jesus, then it's that we serve others well. Who's this gift for? I believe it's for the corporate body. Now, there's an actual gift of serving, okay? I'm not placating that or putting it down. There's a gift that people will, there are natural people, there are gifts that some people, Minister Mara, as an example, she has a servant's heart. It's a real gift that she has. Amen? I'm just saying that what I'm pointing out tonight is that it's these things that we, you know, that's Minister Marr. She serves. God bless her and her ministry. I'm not like that. What happens is it gives people an excuse not to serve, right? Well, that she's doing that. She's like that. We've got people that do that. So I don't have to do that. So what happens is people don't exercise themselves in these abilities of these gifts that are given, these gifts that are given to the body. You know, Pastor Miranda used to, well, I don't know, like she used to say, I think everybody should serve in kids. Didn't you used to say that? Every parent should serve. Not that they have to be full-on teacher, but it would give them an idea, right? And all the moms say, amen. Amen. You know, because a lot of times, you know, people don't realize what goes on or what takes place. You know, kids workers, I mean, you know, there's a lot of things that go into it. There's the lesson planning. There's the time. There's a lot of that stuff. Amen. So, but I would say this, you know, always be willing to grow yourself in the areas of serving others, okay? Everybody in here, this is a great serving church. So I'm not like placing, you know, anything down. Like this is, because everybody, this I mean, honestly, I think, what did you say the other day? You told me like 50% of the people in this house serve. You guys know how statistically high that is? That's very high, because like on an average church, about 7 to 10% serve. So to have 50% of people serving in this church is quite remarkable in some capacity. Amen? And that is Kings. I understand it's not just Pastor Brad and Pastor Miranda had a good idea that we get everybody serving. That's the model of Kings. You know, Kings works to find a place to get people. You know, because Dr. Morocco says, I want to make you look good when Jesus returns, right? You know, that you're doing something for Jesus, and that's forever grained in my mind. But he's given you, if your gift is serving, it is a gift. Please hear what I'm saying. There is an actual gift. Some people have natural abilities, but the only thing I'm saying to you as a pastor, you know, we're all in a place where we can serve, right? We can serve in some capacity. You know, I had a guy get mad at me one time. They said, well, you know, I can't go out on the streets with you guys. You know, I'm a little older. I'm like, no, I understand, you know. He said, you know, maybe I could drive sometime. I was like, no, that'd be awesome. You could drive. And then, you know, because we were pushing evangelism at that point in time. And they ended up and they got upset and they left. They left because, like, they just left. And I'm like, you know, you're a great giver. You're paying your tithes. You're a part of the body. You're playing a part. You're doing all this. Just because one arm of the church is doing this, don't get mad. Be happy and support them. Amen. Pray for them. Pray for them. You know, we can't all be everywhere, right? I've got to go to Maui soon. And I, I want Brother John to lead teams out to do Saturday soul winning and invites, right? I can't be here, but we have people that are, you know, guys, we have people all over. I think it was like last Friday, we had team here, and then Saturday a team there, and Friday we're, you know, it's like, amen. Finding places where people can serve. Isn't that awesome? Anybody getting anything tonight? If you have a gift of serving others, serve them well. If you're a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If your gift is encouraging others, be encouraging. If you have that gift, encourage others. Amen. Don't be discouraging. Be encouraging. If it's giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, listen to this. I like this out of the NLT. This is so good. This is so good. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. Wow, that's in the Bible. Take it seriously. Take the role that you have in whatever you're doing, take it seriously. It's whatever. No. Him, right? We do it because we love Him. So whatever it is that you're doing for the Lord, do it with diligence, do it with fire and passion, amen? But take it seriously. Take it seriously. Man, I read this today and I was just like, you know, as I read down through this and I thought, you know, this is not like a thing, like I said, to come in and be like, come on church, what, you know, it's not about that. It's like, this is the kind of stuff that if we allow it to get into penetrate into our mind and into our spirit, man, it's like no. I'm going to grow in this. I'm going to grow in this thing called. I'm going to grow my faith, and I'm going to keep moving, and I'm going to keep advancing, and I want to grow in this. I'm not done growing. That the message tonight. You think about leadership. I'm not done growing. I'm going to continue to be in a place of growing myself continually in the things of the Lord. Amen. Amen. Whatever it is that you want to do in life, keep yourself in it. Keep yourself grounded. Grow in it. I always say ask questions. People don't ask enough questions. My son yesterday, it was so funny. Guys, the advancements that we have, even with technology now. Miranda, a week or so ago, met with Halama, our daughter-in-law, and was working on curriculum. And doing some different things. And she got on ChatGPT. And it just started doing stuff. And asking questions. And transcribed. One class? One of you? Huh? I'm sorry. Just tell them about. Because I think sometimes we don't think this way. We don't think what we have access to. You want to start a business? ChatGPT. You can find out how to do anything. And it's not going to talk back to you in a bad way. Zane yesterday roasted himself, though. You can actually roast yourself on ChatGPT. It had a joke that was, anyway, it was really funny. I can't tell it, but he had took a picture of himself and sent it to ChatGPT. He said, roast this. And so then it did, and he was like, listen to this. This is so funny. Anyway, I can't, anyway. But tell them about that. I just think.
One of my prayer points for this year has been, because in my classes, you know, doing it myself, it takes a huge amount of time, and it's a slow process to write the curriculum and then teach a class, and then you have to write another curriculum to teach the next class, and then to edit everything and get it uploaded on the website, and it's just such a slow process on your own. And I've just been praying for help and just divine help, that God would send me the right people and to help in the areas that I don't know exactly what I'm doing in, or you know, I'm not the best with the expertise in certain areas, especially with the technology side. And so anyway, Hailama mentioned it a couple weeks ago because she was interested in maybe taking some of my curriculum and teaching it where they're at. And so she was like, well, you know, do you have this? Do you have that? And so I kind of explained the situation. And she's like, well, I can maybe take that and get it transcribed. And then I can have ChatGPT create the quizzes for you and create the curriculum and create the questions and da, 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 da. And I was like, really? That would be neat. Do one class and let me see it. So she does one class and she says, what do you think? And so it created questions for me. I mean, I didn't use like all of them, but I used probably 80% of them, and was able to take a class that I had done 2 years ago that I hadn't finished the questions to, and when, because I would have to go back and re-listen to that course to remember what the questions or what the class was about to pull the questions from it, and I haven't had time. And so she was like, she had it transcribed, so it's all written now, and then questions created from it. So then I was able to take those and plug them in, and I'm getting that course done in a matter of one day instead of, you know, 3 weeks or a month. And then she was like, okay, well, I'll just go ahead and do the rest of them. In one evening, she had 9 classes transcribed with questions and the whole thing written out. It was crazy. One evening.
So now one of her classes will be able to go online now, which good. It's good for people that want to take it. But I say all this, and move yourself in the areas of faith. You have the greatest access to things. We right now live in honestly the greatest of all times. The access that we have to things and knowledge right now. You know, the Bible says in Daniel's that in the last days there would be an increase of knowledge. And somebody was saying even the other day that YouTube, there's more content, academically, like educational content on YouTube in 1 month than there has been for like 2,000 years. Like that's so information is truly power. Like I said, we this right here, I mean, is power. I mean, it's this right here is power. We don't deviate away from this. But man, what we have access to, what you have access to, don't quit learning. Don't quit learning. Don't quit growing. Don't quit in that area. Believe God, amen. You know, believe God in faith, man. You know. Some of you may say, hey, I want to be in ministry. Come on. What are you doing to fuel that? What are you doing? It's like, you know, some of you say, I want to be in business. What are you doing? Do it now. Make the change. Make the shift. Do it now. What, you guys with me tonight? Because I feel like if there's so many things that are happening so quick in the world right now. And Jesus could come now. You guys understand, now. Let's not leave anything on the table. Amen. Let's not leave anything on the table. Let's not be like, I should have done this or I should have done that. No. I believe that May and June and July, like even through the summer, it's like we're not leaving things on the table. Like there's going to be things birthed in people. You know, Pastor Rand, I've been praying about this. I felt it unusually this year that businesses would be birthed out of this church. Business ideas, people would, you know, that you may say, well, I have no desire to be in business. That's fine. But I believe there are people, God's people, and I believe there are business people that will be coming in. They're business people. You know, amen. That I believe that God wants to birth that through the body of Christ. And, you know, believe God, trust God. I'm going for it. Amen? I'm going for it. I mean, just a business alone. People don't realize, even just a business alone, the amount of money that it can save you in taxes for a $50 to $100, $110 registration for the state of West Virginia, where it will help you on your own personal taxes. Say you sold 100 pair of tennis shoes a year. I don't. This is an example, but I know nobody wants to sell tennis shoes, right? Laren, where's Laren? Laren would sell. Get him selling tennis shoes. You know, there are more. Take ChatGPT and see who the wealthiest generation is right now. You see all these kids that started investing in cryptocurrencies 8, 9, 10 years ago. They were in high school, 12, 13, 14 years of age. $1 million portfolios. Scary, right? They've learned the system. Knowledge is, you know, guys, and hear what I'm saying. This isn't about money. It's not what I'm talking about tonight, because a lot of people think, well, yeah, Pastor's just up here talking about all this stuff and money, and, you know, it's not about that. It's what you can do for the kingdom of God. When I make more, I give more. I don't know if that's anybody in this house. I do. When I make more, when I get more coming in, more goes out. That's just how it is. That's how it flows. It's how it flows in our household. And, you know, we get a raise. I bless my pastor. I mean, it's just what we do. I mean, and we give more. So I'm praying for seed. Pray for seed. Pray for ideas. Pray for inventions. Amen. Pray. God, give me an idea. One idea. God, don't limit God. Please, don't limit him. Don't limit God. What he can do through you and by you, and don't limit him. Man, there's so much potential. I look in here tonight, there's so much potential in this room. I've gotten to know you guys. I know you. I know your work ethic. I know your brains. You guys have, you know, your unlimited potential. And you know what the unlimited potential is? You've got God. That's the big part of it. That's the big key. You have God. You're not a heathen. You aren't heathens. Amen. You've got God on your side. And you know, that's the thing about this. You're paying your tithes. You're paying your offerings. You're doing the things that God tells you to do. Then boom, he pops an idea. Amen. I don't know. You may ask, what was this about tonight? I'm not sure. We won't talk about this on the way home, praise God. Pastor Mary and I looked at each other, and she looked at me coming down the road. She's like, what are we going to do when we only have a 2-minute drive to church? When are we going to talk? And I said, I don't know. So we'll have to sit in the parking lot for a while, I guess. Just have faith, see it, right? I don't know, just grab a hold of it, see it. See it for yourself, see yourself. See yourself out there. See yourself out there. Unlock that potential that's inside of you. Have fun. Enjoy your life. Amen. That's important. But don't get caught up in that. So, Dr. Morocco, I'm telling you, a word that's in my head, don't get lazy. Don't get lazy, Pastor Brad. I remind myself of that. I remind myself of that word, don't get lazy. Be diligent. Stay diligent. Stay faithful. Don't be a wicked, lazy servant. I don't know if that means anybody. It's a word that's really hit me this year. I'm not going to be wicked. I'm not going to be lazy. I'm going to pick that up. I did that today. Pastor Miranda's going to come by and see that. She's going to say,
this is Pastor Brad, and we just want to thank you so much for joining us today on our podcast. And if you have questions, you can reach out to us on Facebook or Instagram, or check out our website at kcwestvirginia.com. Now, the Bible says that whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And even in closing today, I want to give you this opportunity. Maybe you've never said the prayer of salvation. Maybe you've never connected your life to Christ Jesus. You know, Romans 10:9 says that if we confess with our mouth and believe in our heart that Jesus is Lord, you shall be saved. So just right now, if you feel in your heart that you would like to receive Jesus Christ, just go ahead and say this prayer with me. Say, dear Lord Jesus, I ask you right now to come into my life. Father, I believe and I confess my sins before you. Father, I ask you to come into my life, make me brand new, wash me, cleanse me, forgive me, Father. And today, Lord, I choose to make you Lord of my life. In Jesus' mighty name, in Jesus' name. And if you said that prayer today, you know, do me a big favor. Connect with us. We would love to hear about it. God bless you and have a great day.